Welcome to the Fishers of Men, a missionary Baptist ministry featuring Brother Mike Bronner of Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. If you would like to contact Brother Mike Bronner, his mailing address is P.O. Box 1523, Petersburg, Alaska 99833, or you can reach him at KRSA at area code 907-772-3891. It's time now for the Fishers of Men on KRSA.
Heart of man has questioned if God is real. Their eyes have searched for a living God and a love that they can feel. Well, I've got good news, I'm a living proof. If you could see inside, you'd find a holy risen Lord in the place where he resides.
I know
right where he lives.
Down deep inside,
there's a burning evidence. It's a little late to test my faith on who he was and who he is.
I know
right where he lives.
Seems every day I hear someone say my God cannot be found. If he exists, he's powerless and never reaches down. But you can't convince a man who once was blind but now can see that God is dead or anything less than he ever claimed to be.
I know right where he lives.
Down deep
inside, there's a burning evidence. It's a little late to test my faith on who he was and who he is.
I know
right where he lives.
I know
right where he lives.
Down deep
inside, there's a burning evidence. It's a little late to test my faith on who he was and who he is.
I know
right where he lives.
Well,
I know right where he lives.
Down deep inside,
there's a burning evidence. It's a little late to test my faith on who he was and who he is.
I know
right where he lives. It's a little late to test my faith on who he was and who he is.
I know
right where he lives.
Hello again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. We're thankful to be able to be back to the radio station once again today and have what we consider another God-given opportunity that we might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. We sincerely appreciate everyone who tunes in. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers. We especially appreciate your prayers as we try to prepare through the week and try to come this way and bring a message. We so much do stand in need of the Lord's help, and we admit that openly and humbly, because we want to try to do the work that the Lord would have for us to do. So thank you so much for praying for us. I ask you to continue to do so, that the work as it goes on here, that it'll be such that the Lord could use, he'd be pleased with and would bless it, that those who tune in would hear what indeed would be the most helpful to them. And I really believe that's the good Lord who knows what that is. So do pray for us and pray for the work here as it goes on. We are bringing a broadcast out of Petersburg. We're thankful for the friendly folks here and for all the work they do as they help us as we come this way and try to bring the message and get it prepared to broadcast out. And so we appreciate them so much and pray that God would richly bless them and those who make this possible. Thankful for our home church at Union Camp there in Macon County in Tennessee. Appreciate their support. They financially support this work, and what's more important is they support it with their prayers as well, and we do thank so much of them. We have tried to pray and try to prepare as we come this way. We do need to go to the Lord in prayer before we might address the message that's on our heart, and so if you would like to join with us, we do want to pray at this time, and then after we pray, we'll try to take up the thought that's on our heart. So if it's to where you can like to join with us, let us pray. holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful for us another opportunity, O God, that we might come this way and try to speak and bring a portion of your word. We're thankful, Father, for your mercy, for your long-suffering. We ask you to forgive us our sins and help us that as we come along life journey that we'd be such, Lord, that you could always use and be such, Lord, that Father, that we know by thine own hand and guidance that we can't be on our own. We ask you, Lord, again to bless the work here and bless those who that support it in every way that they do. We pray, Father, for the sad, for the lonely, for those who are oppressed in any way. And pray mainly, Father, for the lost, those who know thee not, nor the free pardon of sin. We pray, O God, that ye'd help them to see their need and open their eyes to the offering of Christ on Calvary's cross, that they might turn toward it with all their heart and find soul salvation, the great forgiveness of sins. We pray for those who have been saved, that, Father, that there would ever be the call that would go out for those who've been saved to unite in following after Christ. Help us, God, that we might, having united thereunto, might walk freed of the entanglements of this life, and that the light of God would shine out into the dark places of this earth. We pray you'd bless the church. Help her, Lord, to stand fervent, but stand humble, Father, always being supplied with the word of truth and having doors of utterance open before that cannot be closed. We pray for our nation, and that you'd indeed help her, that she would be such, Lord, that she'd turn to God and give up those things which are clearly contradictory to the great teachings of your holy word. We pray you'd remember to bless those who have been called to preach with the deliverance from the entanglements and ensnarements, Father, which the adversary sets on every side. Bless again this work as it goes out. Bless the message now. Forgiving us again our sins and shortcomings, those things we fail to ask, fail not to grant. For we seek all favors and blessings in Christ's name. For his name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we've been trying to address some thoughts over the last period of time, those who tune in regularly know we've been trying to address what's called the Articles of Faith. These Articles of Faith are just basic Bible teachings, things which we find recorded in the Scriptures. Things have been collected over a period of time, which these Articles of Faith, they were recorded back in the 1800s. Previous to that, there were some basic declarations that were made to just set forth some of the basic teachings that find the Bible to teach. Date all the way back into the 1600s. Some of the earliest recordings go back even further than that. But these general teachings, these general principles, are what's found in the Bible. And if they were not, if they contradicted what the Bible taught, they should be rejected. However, we believe that prayerful study will find that these basic points, these basic teachings, indeed will be found presented in the Word of God. Now, for those who might like to study these in more depth, we've provided a place on the Internet where that you could go to. If you have access to the websites, to the Internet, you could get access to this website I'm about to give you. You can go to that place at a site called fisherofmenbaptistic.com. That's one Fisher, Fisher of Men, Baptistic. That's like Baptist, but Baptistic.com. And there, at that website, you can find a link to what's called the Articles of Faith. And this would be the 17th article that we're getting ready to address. It's out, or this is actually the second time we've addressed this article. And good Lord willing, if you continue to look at that website, you'll find a section called Radio. And that radio link provides information about this radio broadcast and also has a copy of previously broadcasted messages. And we've been uploading those as we can work through and get those uploaded there. And eventually this one would be there as well, so that you could go to that place and you could find this message and hear it again and study it again in association with those actual printed material under the Articles of Faith. So if you'd like to study those in more in depth, that information's there to find. We don't have time on a broadcast to address every point. I would encourage you, if you're interested and so inclined, to go back and to study those at that place. So we are reading this 17th article, and having previously addressed that, we'll just go back and touch on some of the points that we previously considered before we get into what will probably be the last message we bring on this point. The 17th article, the title of it is Of the Righteous and Wicked. And just reading through the article says, we believe there is a radical and essential difference between the righteous and the wicked, that such only as through faith are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and sanctified by the Spirit of our God are truly righteous in His esteem, while all such as continue in impenitence and unbelief are in His sight wicked and under the curse. And this distinction holds among men both in and after death. So what we addressed last time was these first two points, which stated that we believe there is a radical and essential difference between the righteous and the wicked, and that such only as through faith are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and sanctified by the Spirit of our God are truly righteous in His sight. This was addressed previously, and just to review this, some major points on this found the first point, that there is a essential difference between the righteous and the wicked. A key verse relating to this points out of the book of Isaiah, and that's the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 5 and verse 20, which states, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And there's an essential difference between the evil and the good, or that is, between the evil and the righteous. There is such a difference between those. There is a difference, as much difference as there is between light and dark, and between bitter and sweet. And the scriptures teach plainly that there is a radical and an essential difference between these two states. Also, as we read, the article teaches us that such only as through faith are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and sanctified by the Spirit of our God are truly righteous in His esteem, that is, in the esteem of God. And that's saying that it takes justification by faith, and that's through faith in the name of the Lord Jesus, to be made righteous in the sight of God. A key verse on this is out of Romans chapter 6. And Romans chapter 6 teaches us this. It says, if you are the servants of sin, if when you are the servants of sin, you are free from righteousness, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and are become servants to God, your fruit is unto holiness and the end to everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this sixth chapter of the book of Romans is just full of the information that tells us that those who that are justified in and through the name of Jesus, that they are those who are truly righteous in His sight. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And without Him, there is just simply no justification in the sight of God. However, with the time we have remaining, we do want to address the latter part of this article, which says, while all such as continue in impenitence and unbelief are in the sight of God wicked and under the curse. I'd like to quickly point out that the Bible does teach that those who remain in unbelief, that they are indeed in a state of wickedness in the sight of God. As an example, out of 1 John, this is the smaller book of John back toward the Revelation, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we find we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. That this world is in a state of wickedness is obvious. Any who that would consider the general spiritual state from a general spiritual point of view, the world indeed lieth in wickedness. And moreover, there is a state of the wicked, and that state of the wicked we think of out of John chapter 3, verse 36, which says this, the Father loveth the Son, and he hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So the scripture indeed teaches us that the wrath of God abides on those who are in unbelief, that there is a certain state, there is a certain condemnation, there is a curse unto those who have remained in unbelief, who perhaps believe with the mind, but have yet to believe with the heart. In other words, you think that Jesus is the Son of God, but you've never trusted in him with all your heart for soul salvation. And oh, they said many things could be said about why people don't put their trust in the Lord, or why they're willing to use their mind and declare themselves Christians, but never have the true heartfelt experience of soul salvation. We think about over in Isaiah 57, which relates to this again, and this is evidence. This is true evidence from the Word of God. And in this part of the world, it's evidence that we can all relate to, thinking about us being here in this island area of the state. We're familiar with what happens around the shorelines. We've all familiar with the sight there, the scenes. God, he says this, as recorded in Isaiah 57, verses 19 through 21. The Lord says, "This I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." The unsettled state, the lack of peace. "There is no peace, saith the Lord, saith my God, to the wicked." The wicked, rather, their spiritual condition down inside is in a constant turmoil. And it's just like the troubling of the sea, which cast up the mire and cast up the dirt. Just think about how unsettled and how murky the water looks right along the edge. And this, God says, is a good description, a good example of the condition of the hearts of those who've yet to believe in Christ with all their hearts. I think again about over in Psalm in chapter 10. Now in the Psalms and in chapter 10, or sometimes called the division of Psalms in the fourth verse, we find this also about the wicked. It says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. So, just like the Bible says, the wicked, those who've not trusted in the Lord, they're considered wicked. And there's a spiritual condition where that you can consider and see how that you stand with God because of the spiritual experience that you have. How do you stand in the eyes of God? What's your condition in the eyes of God? Is it that unsettled state like the mire there? Are you so full of pride that you won't seek after God? Is it that you would rather have your own way than to submit to God and therefore stay wicked? Well, if that's the case, just like this article says, this distinction will hold among men both in and after death. And this is not a state you want to stay in, but it's one which you will be held in if you die in that condition. I think about over in Proverbs in chapter 14, pointing out how that this condition, that it stays the same. It is fixed even when we part and cross from time over into eternity. Think of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 32. "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death." Notice this is relating to death, because it says the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. So this is talking about at death. So where will the wicked be? It says the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, and driven away from what? From that God has got prepared for those who know him, those who serve him. Think about over in the book of Luke, chapter 16. Now Luke 16, the early part of that chapter is a description about how that a man, well, it's right in the middle of the chapter, about how a man who passed away, who went to that place called hell. And in verse 25, that man had a message sent to him. He requested for comfort out of that place called hell, where the torments of the fires of hell was tormenting him there. He is experiencing that awful anguish of all those who go to that place where the wicked are driven away into. So where are the wicked driven away to? They're driven away to that real place called hell. Now, verse 25, when this man requested comfort, he said, "Son, remember that in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things." He didn't receive the good things of God. He received his good things, just the things that he sought after. And he said, "But this other man," referring to a man called Lazarus, who had also passed away but went to heaven. He said, "But likewise Lazarus, evil things. And now he's comforted, and thou art tormented." So that man was told of the difference. He was driven away in his wickedness. He was like the proud, who would not seek after God. He would not allow God to enter into his thoughts. He held God at a distance rather than humbling himself to him. He held to his state, even though spiritually he was like that dirt and mire at the troubling of the sea right there. That we're all familiar with seeing that. He let his spiritual state remain like that. And therefore, when it passed from time to eternity, he was driven away, because that state of being wicked is fixed. And that's where he'd remain. I think about John in chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ doing the speaking. Verse 21, the Lord Jesus Christ said to these who were there, said, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come?" And he said unto them, "Ye are from beneath, I'm from above. Ye are of this world, I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." This is God's message to us all, that if we've not came unto him, if we've not been to him through faith in Christ Jesus, if we've not turned from this world unto God fully, if we've not left off the things that stand between us and God to go to God fully, then we're in our sins. And if we die in our sins, a dead sinner, one that's dead in his sins, is one that's cast off. And God help us that we would open our eyes and see the great peril in which we stand, that we might turn from the things of this world to turn to God and find that which God has extended unto us all through Christ Jesus. I think about another verse of Scripture. This is over in Luke and in chapter 9. Luke and in chapter 9, we're going to begin reading at verse 23 and just read a couple of verses. This is the Lord Jesus Christ doing the speaking once again when he said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" Think about that question. What do you profit if you gain the whole world? And how long do we live here in the world? How long are we going to get to live? What do you expect? A long life here in the world? 100 years? 110 years? If we're really blessed or really fortunate, maybe 120 years. But then what is 100 years by comparison to eternity? What have you really gained if you gain 100, 120 years of pleasure? And just had as much money as you could ever want, have as many things as you could ever desire, but then just to die and to be cast away for all eternity. I want you to know this, that is such a catastrophe, because it don't have to be. Those who would give up, maybe even just be willing to accept just a meager fare, just whatsoever it would mean, just so long as we serve God here, and that we didn't oppose his will rather than going along with sin and the evil in the world, but yield ourselves to God and follow after him. Oh, what a blessed life it would be. And then know that when we lay down out of this walk of life one day and cross over into eternity, that all is well and all's at peace. Oh, what a better life that would be, knowing that you're prepared to meet God at the day of death. I think about one last verse of Scripture in John chapter 12. Going right along what we read out of Luke. In John chapter 12, the Scripture says this, beginning at verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it,
And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now here's a great statement of the Lord Jesus Christ from the one who cannot lie. If any will serve Christ, he'll receive the honor that comes from God only. And oh, what a great blessing that is. But what does it mean? It means rather than serving ourselves, rather than seeking to please ourselves, we should give up self and please God. Those who would choose Christ over self. Christ says, you may lose your life here in this world. That just means we're not going to do it the way we want to do it. Christ said, if any man will serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there you'll be also. Or would you rather be cast away with the wicked? Like this article says, this state is fixed forever. Not only is it fixed here in time, but it's fixed for after time as well. God help us that we'd see our state indeed. And if you're in that troubled state down within, like we read there in the Bible, like you see when you stand along the water's edge, if you're caught in that condition, there's a remedy. The remedy's in Christ. I hope today that you'll find it. You can if you'd seek God with all your heart. This has been our message. Thank you again for tuning in. Thank you for your prayers. Remember to pray for me. I'll be careful to pray for yours again. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. We're able to come this way again.
You have been listening to The Fishers of Men, a missionary Baptist ministry featuring Brother Mike Bronner of Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. You can contact Brother Bronner at area code 907-772-3891, or you can reach him by mail at P.O. Box 1523, Petersburg, Alaska 99833. Thank you for listening to The Fishers of Men on KRSA.